Knicks fans, welcome back to the Garden Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed. I'm here with my co-host, Rick Derulo, regular Joe. And I'm here with my mans. It's been a minute. Die Hard, Eru. How you doing, my guy? How you been?
Chilling, man. I was supposed to do my own podcast tonight. I was almost about to go to sleep until you hit me, man. So I said, yeah, I got to hang out with you. I haven't seen these guys in a long time, man. So
it's been a minute, man. I hit him like, sure, you know, sure. Last minute. That's how I love about Eru. No matter what, I'm always like, yo, last minute, bro.
Word. Word. He had one foot in the bed. That's a true friend.
Yo, when I was sitting for 15 minutes, I almost had one foot in the bed too. I've been up since 7 a.m. I'm like, yeah. Yo, y'all guys is playing with me right now, man. Y'all playing with my time.
Come on, Joe. Bad. You know you don't sleep.
Nah, I'm really tired as hell though. Real talk.
My bad.
I won't go to sleep, though. You're right. I won't go to sleep. I'll still be up till like 1, but still.
He'd be in the bed, though. That's the point.
I will be in the bed, just not sleeping.
So, I mean, while I'm in the bed, not sleeping half the time, I'm scrolling on Twitter, just watching a lot of fandom. And that's basically what we're here to talk about. It's not much, you know, any news. You know what I'm saying? Salute to the chat, my man. What's going on, Knicks and Nice? Salute.
Sir.
I got my projected Knicks lineup. Oh, okay.
Uh-oh. Let's see it.
Drop that. So, you know, like I said, while sometimes I'm scrolling on Twitter, the constant, you know, the most recent thing that we're hearing, obviously, is the talk of Bradley Beal and the Zach LaVines and even the Karl Anthony Towns, and some people are sprinkling in the Kristaps Porzingis.
I have a take on that.
I'm really like cool on almost all of them, not because I don't want the talent. You know what I'm saying? I think the talent is there. I just think to give up what we actually would need to give up for those guys, I don't think those are the guys that you really want to do it for, especially for what we would have to give up for. Like other teams, you know, there's a Knicks tax. Like we know that, guys. Like it's different. No matter what, whatever we have to give up is always going to be way more substantial what someone else has to give up. That's just how it is. I don't know why. That's just...
Gotta pay the tax, bro.
Tax. Mm-hmm. It's the tax. So, me personally, I don't think there's a lot of the Bradley Beal. First of all, Bradley Beal, at this point, I think the word is out that he's going to be the finalist on the Bradley Beal front is the Phoenix Suns.
In the Miami Heat.
No, I think they said the finalists are the Suns. Like,
oh, how's that? Oh, okay.
The Suns are real.
What did they give up? What do they have?
They said it would be centered around Ayton and Shamit, but more than likely, okay. that's what the Phoenix Suns would want. But more than likely, they would have to give up Chris Paul and Shamit. So.
Chris Paul,
was
already waived. He's
not officially waived, though.
Not officially waived, but he's been notified basically that, you know, that's really what's going to be happening. So I don't know. I think Miami could still come in there and throw a nice deal if they really, really wanted to.
That's what I'm saying. Pat Riley, bro.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he fits better in Miami than he does on Phoenix. I got, honestly, that's just.
I'm trying to figure out where he would fit in Phoenix because they already got Devin Booker.
So right. They're a clone. It's the Spider-Man meme. It's like, yo, like.
My best assumption is they go small with Booker at the three. Basically, use Durant.
Not a defensive lineup at all.
Durant as a four. And then slide Beal in at the two. And then I don't know, I guess, who's their point guard? Campaign, I guess. I don't know.
Who is their point guard?
I don't know. I don't know who's playing. Are they counting on that Landell dude to be their starting center?
I don't know, man. Like this is what I'm saying. Like I think they would love to have Beal. You know what I mean? Like why not Phoenix? But I think if you make that trade, you already saw how slim they were this series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just get thinner, bro. Yeah.
You're getting even slimmer. You don't have that much depth. So how many, first of all, we know Bill's going to get, God forbid, you know, he misses time.
Right.
So you got to have somebody that you can trust behind him to play a lot of minutes. You got to be prepared for that.
You know who they should bring back?
Who?
To take up some of those minutes?
Who?
Elfrid Payton, bro. The point guard.
Yeah, they should. You know, he's a good ball when he's in Phoenix.
Please do. I mean, I didn't hate him. I just didn't want him here. You know what I mean? So go ahead. You know what I'm saying? That's just me.
That trade doesn't really make sense. Like, who would they get rid of Aiden? Then who's their starting five? Like, I don't. How does that work? So, and then you got Bradley Beal. You go small. Then it doesn't make sense to me. But the way his contract is set up, isn't it? He gets to choose the team.
No trade clause. Yeah. So basically, this is where he wants to go. Yeah. I mean, like you're literally saying, "Hey, I want to handicap your team, yo." Mm. It's like. That's literally what he's saying.
And you saying whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my man to drop his projected lineup. Like, it's mad suspense.
Oh, yeah.
The suspense is killing me.
Big L said, we can use CP3 as a backup point guard. I don't mind that. I mean, we would have to give up quickly to make that happen for sure.
I feel like our biggest issue is shooting. So
I don't know. Yeah.
Just because he's there, he's available, doesn't mean we gotta get him. Like, yeah, we could use him. We could use a lot of players in the NBA, but I just feel like we should focus on
areas. I'm not giving up quickly.
Yeah, IQ
for Chris Paul, bro.
Yeah.
Not at this point. 37, 38, you know what I mean? Like at this point, you don't play that many How many games does he miss per year?
He played 55 last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, people talking about him to come in to be like a mentor. Like, I think we're past that right now.
We're good. Yeah, we're good on the mentors. Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. You see the lineup? No. No.
You know what, though? You know what? This is a great segue, though.
Knicks are nice. Oh man, yo.
Oh man.
Don't.
Okay.
Not no knees, Levine.
Let's do this. Okay. I got JB.
That's a lot of basketballs too, by the way.
Grimes, Levine, Randall, and Kat. That is a scary ass lineup for not all the right reasons.
How does it happen though?
First of all, to give up what you need to give up to get Levine and then get Kat, I don't even think we have enough to get both of them. It's either one or the other. You got to pick one. Like.
And you're trying to keep Randall in that deal?
And you're trying to keep Randall. I don't think you can make it happen.
It's possible, but it's like it would be like.
Is it?
We'd be so thin. We'd literally be.
Well, I mean, like the trades would be like so ridiculous. You know, like why would these teams take the trade that it would take to for us to make those things happen? Why would they even do it?
You know? Like, how do you make the contract work for both trades?
Right.
How do you make the money work?
I mean, you
like,
got
obviously RJ is one person that got to go out, right?
Contract
works. Fournier, of course.
Rose. You could re-sign Rose and use him as a trade piece.
But he kept IQ. He has like the bench there. He kept IQ. Somehow we signed on Jay Hart. And how did we get Duarte and on Trey Lyles too? Jeez.
Oh man!
Wait, hold on. How are we?
And then he said. And then he said, "I'm being." I ain't even look at the bench. Then he said, "I'm being realistic."
Hold on. You play 2K, bro? I need to know.
2K wouldn't even allow that.
2K wouldn't.
Yeah, hold on. So nah, hold on, bro. I almost want to bring him on. Sam and Link. How we get in Duarte and Lyles? That's what I'm trying to.
Clearly, we'd be giving up Obi. We'd be giving up Mitch.
RJ somewhere.
RJ.
McBride.
I mean, maybe.
But how are we paying?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Who really wants McBride? How's that going to help this trade?
How are we paying Duarte and Lyles?
No, I don't know if all of that is possible, my guy. It would be nice.
So you're gonna trade. All right. So all right, Baron. So you're saying Obi gets traded to the Pacers for Obi,
for Duarte.
Right?
For Duarte.
Duarte. Yeah, Duarte is traded to the Knicks for Obi, right? Okay. So how are we getting? So we sign Lyles to like a mid-level exception. I'm assuming that's what you're getting at. Lyles is a free agent, so you're talking mid-level exception for Lyles.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Obi gets traded. It's a Duarte and pick 26 for Obi to the Pacers. Lyles is a free agent. Okay. Lyles is a free agent. Okay. Lyles is a free agent. It's the first. Explain to me how we get both LaVine and Cat with RJ.
This is captivating.
Yeah. with RJ.
And you're giving up Robinson.
RJ and Robinson. There's no way they're going to do a one-for-one with those guys. So you're going to have to include some other guys.
Isn't that like $70 million between the two players?
Yes.
They both make like 38, I think. Something like that.
How much is Fournier's contract? How much left with Fournier?
17, about 17, no?
Rose makes 14.
So you got...
Nah, but all right. So the only thing I'm confused about. So now you're saying
$1 million right there. Go ahead.
Only thing I'm confused about is he's saying Lyles gets signed for $12 million. Like Lyles would have to be a mid-level exception. We don't have $12 million to give to Trey Lyles. Like after we resign Hart, right? Like we're gonna be capped out. You're bringing in probably more cap than what you're sending out, right? Making a trade for Cat and LaVine. Like, I don't see where we get in 12 mil for Lyles. Lyles would have to be a mid-level exception. And then you don't have the $5 million to sign a backup. You're hoping that you could get a backup at the vet minimum.
I mean, if you make it happen, you're literally just fitting like every piece into place, right?
Maybe we get Ish Smith in here as a backup point guard.
Yeah, you find him. Okay.
It'd be Walt Clyde Frazier's wet dream.
He loves Ish Smith. He loves it. I think it's possible. It's possible. I just don't see Leon Rose making that deal. I don't really see him making. I might see him make the deal for LaVine. That's the only guy I don't see him but I still don't think he'll make that deal.
Cap, I still got questions though. So he's saying RJ, Fournier, Rose, Obi, Mitch, and Sim gotta go. Okay. How are we? I need both trades. I want to know how are we getting LaVine? Right? Like, who's going out to get LaVine? And then I want to know who's going out to get Cat. Like, I need specifics. And how do we making the contracts work?
Big L said we're going to give up 130 points if we got that
squad. Oh, that squad getting cooked. You better believe that.
That squad is playing no defense at all.
That squad is getting cooked. And not just because
they don't want to. It's just mostly they can't.
They can't. Like it's not gonna have anything to do with want to. Like they're not going to be capable of playing defense. Have you ever seen Zach LaVine try to defend? Like he's so bad.
He plays defense like he's trying not to hurt his knees.
Anyway. He's so bad, yeah.
I was gonna say that
we already know that RJ, D Rose, and a pick for LaVine. That money will work. RJ, D Rose, a pick for LaVine. Unless Chicago is really like, let's get up off of his knees. That's the only way they would make that trade.
Mitch Fournier
picks for Cat. I don't know why the Timberwolves would make that trade when they literally have what's the French dude over there? Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
My team's got to stagger the lineups, okay? But like. Yeah, I don't know, bro.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think for Zach LaVine, the Bulls can find a better trade out there than RJ D.
100%. 100%.
I think that's the biggest thing every offseason that I try to relate to our fans. I actually tweeted it the other day. We have to understand that there's other teams that have way better packages than we have. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have a bunch of bustling, like, young guys that are just out here killing it right now.
No, I think that the Knicks
have some good pieces.
I think the Knicks would have a package that they could put forward for one of those guys, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we'll be able to put something together that makes sense for the other team to get both. Like, there's no reason for Minnesota to want Mitch when they already have Gobert there.
Right. Well, T-Wolves want picks. But then what do you do with Mitch? Only 36 mil for Cat. T-Wolves want picks. That's what I'm saying. But what do you do with Mitch and Gobert? Then you have to make another trade. You know what I mean? If you're the Wolves, that means that you're now agreeing to having to make another trade. Because right. You can't play these guys together. At all. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Reports. I get you. And I understand that because we all really go enough reports, really. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I just want to see, like we have to consider what the other team would be thinking about with these trades.
And you can't send Mitch to the Bulls either because they still got Nurkic. Whatever his name is over there.
Yeah, Vucevic.
Vucevic. Yeah.
Well, they should be looking to move Vooch.
Yeah, I mean, that might work for them. That might work for them. I mean, if you do it, but then...
That was a mistake anyway. That
means we would probably end up with Vucevic, which wouldn't be terrible because of the style of offense that we play. You know, we might need some space down there so he can stretch the floor a little bit better.
So another guy he ain't stopping anybody.
He's not playing any defense.
I could take him off the dribble.
And he's going to be hurt a lot. So... I mean, like I said, you'd be getting two guys in that trade who don't play a lot, who get hurt pretty often.
You know, so Mitchell back up Gobert.
I don't think you do that, though.
I don't know, man. I mean, listen, for us, it's not bad.
I'm just trying to understand why
the other team would do it.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking about like how much of a fucking headache Tibbs would have. Trying to figure out how to get these guys to play defense on a nightly basis. Like, you think that he don't have no hair now? Like, my God, those last few strands is out of there, bro.
The reason why he's okay with a lot of what's been going on is because he knows that we have a Mitch. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like if you're giving up Mitch, it better be for someone that you really can make a push with, or I see Tom Thibodeau like, all right, I don't know what the hell you expect me to do with this unit.
Ira, what you think, bro?
Yeah.
Because Ira just sitting there like...
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just dumbfounded about it, by the trade and stuff. But, I mean, mathematically, it works, but it just, like, systematically, it don't work at all, man, you know?
Yeah, like, the Knicks, this would be a struggle team, bro. Like, first of all, you already got Julius Randle here, right? Who is incredibly difficult to fit into the ecosystem of any team.
Right?
Just because of the way he plays. Then you're going to bring in Kat, who is going to want touches.
Absolutely.
Then you're going to bring in LaVine to play in the backcourt with another guy who... Well, technically, no. Even worse, LaVine won't be in the backcourt. LaVine would probably be our small forward.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Him at the, oh my God. I mean, listen, making one of those trades, I don't mind. One of them.
I mind. So the only, you what? So real quick. So we talked about like all the players, like the names that we're hearing, right? And you dropped a few, right? You know the name that I probably will want more than all of those? You ready to lie?
Who?
Kristaps Porzingis.
I'm kind of leaning towards that too, Kristaps.
if all the names that you name, right?
That's
probably the guy that I would like more than any of those dudes. He's been relatively healthy last few years, right? Seems to have gotten past that. I said relatively. Seems to have gotten past the big stuff, right? Like, he already had the big stuff. The big stuff happened. He seems to have gotten past 7'3".
That. 7'3". Remember, these guys.
He is 7'3".
Get hurt at that height. They don't play long. They don't play that long. Let's just consider the fact that he's already had an injury riddled career.
I'm not saying that I want him. I'm saying out of the ones you right. named, right. that's the one name that I would actually be like, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Right.
He's the less flaky out of the crew, too, because I think if he came here, he would fit into what Tom Thibodeau wants to do. You know, the soldier, at least yeah, trying to absolutely. Be a leader. You know, this guy, Cat, is bugged out. The stuff that he's been saying recently about his game, he's not, like, wrong, but it's just like, he's, like, so delusional about what he thinks.
He's in his head. He's in his head a lot. Yeah, he's in his head a lot about. And did you see how he looked in the playoffs?
Yeah. Mm.
But he looks like that all the time in the playoffs, though. It's not his first rodeo.
But the way he told the story, he was like, he did, like, they had, like, a great season. They had, like, a great, comeback season, right. You know, the way that he talked about it.
Hold on. Big Al said it early. He said that's better than a playoff choking lineup.
What did he say?
He said that's the playoff choking lineup. Why? He said the New York choker.
I don't know why I can't see that. Why is it not popping up?
It's up there somewhere. You just gotta look.
10:34.
Okay.
I mean, I look at this lineup, and I'm just like, yo, is this the championship team that we're waiting for?
Like, all right, so Knicks are nice is saying that Tibbs got to do his job, but, like, you got to give the coach something to work with, yeah? Like, you can't give the coach a bunch of guys who haven't played defense for whatever amount of time they've been in the NBA, and then say, yo, go defend.
Listen, I don't want a guy to sit here and poo-poo everything that comes out, because there can be a negative to anybody that comes out.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Everybody that,
you know what I'm saying? So I don't want to act like, all right, like, we're above this. But
we are. Like, we're
right. I was going to get into that. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say this past season, we made it to the second round. It was one round away from the semi conference. I mean, Eastern Conference finals, right? Mm-hmm.
Nah, Knicks are nice. Hold on. I know you're going off reports, bro. It's not that. But we're going off of what you're saying. But like Ricky said, second round, right? Go ahead. My bad, man.
So we're looking for nothing, not crazy changes just to improve where you really lack from the previous season. You're trying to alter and not change. This lineup is completely changing the team, and you have no idea what you're going to produce from that. So if you make tweaks and changes, you have a better outcome. So I'm not going crazy over, like, changing the lineup that much. You got rid of
that lineup. That lineup would be a wild ecosystem to try to fucking put together, bro.
You can't change that many pieces and expect us to go anywhere near what we did this year. Like, we kind of, it's like an almost reset. It's not a hard reset. It's like, that's like a soft reset. And a lot of guys, he says, name your tweaks.
It's like,
so I think
I like Trey Lyles.
Yeah, I like, that's what I'm saying. I think we have to look more for role players. You know what I'm saying? At this point, I don't think there's a big name out there that we need to make to go further, because we would have to give up so much of what made us get here in order to get those guys. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only reason why I'm kind of like, all right, let's ease up, because we actually did pretty well. Now, if we were closer, like, and we needed one more piece, like that one guy that definitely would put us over the hump, I understand going for a Beal or even a Levine or maybe a Cat, you know what I'm saying? Depending on what we're getting out of what our guys are ready. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like we just need first of all, this is the first year all of these guys have been together. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you consider having Brunson there and the effect that he had, like, from the beginning of the year to towards the end of the year. I want to see what he can get these guys to with another full season with one or two more tweaks. You know what I'm saying? Where if someone's out, we don't have to get a lot of those Evan Fournier minutes. Like, a lot of those minutes I'd really rather not see. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I've even heard about the Naz Reid thing. somebody talked about Naz Reid.
I like Naz Reid a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a secret how much I don't think it's a secret how much I like Naz Reid.
Yeah. So I heard something about Naz Reid, you know, but like, would he be a backup? And if he's your backup, that means that Obi has to go. Because what is he? Is he a four? He's a four, right?
He's a 4 or 5.
Yeah.
4 or 5.
So that means that you would have to consider moving Obi in that deal. So this is the kind of thing I'm looking for. Like, I don't mind making a move, but it has to be a move that we know can fix a weakness that we had. A lot of our weakness was in depth in certain places, defense and effort, but having a lot of these guys, first of all, Tibbs, my only problem with Tibbs is let's widen that lineup a little bit, that rotation. Let's just make it 10. Let's make it 10, maybe 11 if you have to, you know what I'm saying? On some nights. But
yeah,
I think that we just have to get one more guy in there that can really give us something, you know what I'm saying? Every single night on both ends. You know what I mean? I like Naz Reid for that. You know what I'm saying? I like Trey Lyles. You know what I mean? These are guys that could help in the small places and pockets. We don't really need to make a big change with one of our big names at this point. I mean, everyone would love, I'm not gonna say everyone would love. There's a large portion of our fan base that would love for Julius Randle to be traded. Now, if you trade Julius Randle, can you guys honestly say if we trade Julius Randle, we'll get equal value in return?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's not happening.
And yo, this is how I see it. And I went live earlier and I was saying this on my live. Like, I don't care what nobody say. Like, I pointed it out by pointing out his shot chart after game 6. Yeah. Shot chart was weird as hell.
Yeah.
Right? Said it on this very show. Shot chart was weird as hell. Mm-hmm. Shot chart told me that something wasn't right.
Something was wrong. Right? Yeah.
14 shots, 11 jump shots, 7 threes, only 3 shots in the paint. 2 of the 3 shots he made, he was 3 for 14, were in the paint. Uh-huh. He made 1 jump shot. I think it was a 3. Like, to me, he wasn't right. It was obvious he wasn't right. Comes out that he had to get arthroscopic ankle surgery. Like, I don't think that... I think those two things were related, right? Having to get the surgery in his performance.
Mm-hmm.
If we got, right? It's crazy that he would get hurt the way he got hurt, right? But I just want guys to understand, right? We've all turned our ankle,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Imagine turning that same ankle twice. 2 times in 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Sheesh. Like, imagine the pain the second time around.
Yo, it's like when you bite the inside of your lip and then you bite it again.
You bite the
again.
Same. Oh, yeah, it's even worse the second time.
That's the worst.
And
that's a terrible. I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
And like, then imagine this, right? Imagine Julius Randle, right? Because Knicks fans are saying he shouldn't have never came back then. Imagine Jimmy Butler turning his ankle in that same series, right? Coming back and playing, did not play great in that series, but came back and played. And then imagine Julius Randle saying, I can't play in this series because my ankle hurts. And imagine what Knicks fans would have done to him.
Yeah,
what Knicks fans would have said. So the man came back and played. The man came back and played, right? Some of the shit that I seen from him in the series was inexcusable. Let me just be clear on that, mm-hmm. right? But he did come back. Gave it what I guess in his mind was his best shot, right? Didn't work out, obviously, poor performance. If we got 2-time All NBA, 2-time All Star, Julius Randle in the playoffs, the Knicks are in the finals, in my opinion, because I think we take care of Boston too. Like, I really believe that. So I don't know. I feel like the path really opened up for us in a way that it may not ever happen again. But at the same time, I feel like if we make a tweak here, we make a tweak there, we get Julius Randle with the right pieces around him, with Jalen Brunson playing like a fucking superstar.
Yeah.
Bro, we can make some noise against some really good teams.
Absolutely.
And you want to know what saved Jimmy in that series? And I said this earlier too. What saved Jimmy in that series and made Jimmy look good is one, Tibbs made Jimmy look good. By throwing a million double teams at him when he didn't have to.
He didn't have right. to.
Secondly, what also made Jimmy look good was his the ancillary pieces around him. They played amazing. right?
Yeah.
Cody Martin was amazing.
They
right?
missed not one Gabe goal. Vincent,
Gabe Vincent was amazing. Max Strus was amazing. Could you imagine if we had a healthy Quickly who played well?
That's
if we had yep. if we had Grimes who actually played well. They had a team that was ready for that moment, and we didn't, right? Right. They were the Grizzle vets. They were the team that had been there before. I believe that if we could get the performances that we know that we could get from our guys and get Julius Randle playing at like Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson dropping 41 in an elimination game, that team could go somewhere.
Definitely. That's why
that's all I had to say.
Yeah. That's why you want to make small changes.
What'd you say, Eero? What'd you say, Eero?
I'm saying, do we run it back or do we make a trade for somebody?
I think it's like Cap said. I think you tweak some things.
You try
to improve your team. Try to improve your team in ways. I believe getting a guy like Trey Lyles would be great.
Yeah.
Right. Gives Tibbs options. Mm-hmm. Right. Where he could kind of have a lineup out there that could spread the floor a little bit.
Right. Right.
Instead of having Hartenstein or Mitch clogging it up all the time.
Or instead of having Obi out there who might give you an air ball here or there.
Yeah, he's not rebounding. He's not. I'm not a fan of Obi at all, man. I really would love Trey Lyles in that role. You know, the role that we wanted to play.
I like Obi, but I think Trey Lyles fits that role better than Obi would.
Yeah,
that's just me personally. I think he fits that role better.
It has to make sense though. You know, just whatever, however we do it. If we trade, Julius or trade RJ, whoever, it just needs to make sense. You know, like mm-hmm. if you get rid of Julius, you're gonna of course we're gonna need somebody to replace his rebound and stuff like that. But we can also get better a different way. Like right. if you got Bradley Beal and we traded Julius in that deal, now we got Bradley Beal and Brunson, but now we have to do other things to fill in the holes that with what was happening, and then it will be a totally different style of play at that point. Mm-hmm. So we just got to be very we all agree. I think we all agree with that. We all got to be very careful how we go about this because it can go really crazy. And next thing that we miss the playoffs,
Yeah, right. this is the I don't envy
the front office,
Leon Rose at all. This is by far their hardest offseason.
It's gonna be the toughest
to date.
Phil from shout out to my guy from Morning Brew Sports. He said keywords in his mind, it's not enough. I think he was talking about Julius. It's not enough.
Yeah, because I said that in his mind, Julius gave it his best shot.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm sure if you asked Julius, he did what he could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could he have done a little bit more? Maybe. I don't think that there was anything that he could have done that would have been enough without Quentin Grimes knocking down shots. Without Josh Hart, who was not good in that series as well, knocking down shots.
Yeah,
without a healthy Quickly. Like, there was nothing that he could have done on that ankle without those guys showing up. And the reason why Jimmy was able to get to the next round, into the finals, is because Cody Martin was playing out of his mind. Jimmy wasn't good against the Knicks, and he wasn't good in the next round either.
Yeah. Cody Martin went
good. No, you can't say he wasn't good. He
was very average, bro.
He wasn't an offensive threat, but he facilitated a lot of what the team was
because teams had way too much respect for him. Yo, Tibbs lost that series, bro.
It don't matter what the reason is. He was able to pull it off.
It's fact.
I mean, just his presence alone allowed for other people to shine, and that's isn't that what
I
you
agree.
Want?
Isn't I that agree. What you want? Absolutely.
So, I mean, you got to give it to Jimmy because, like. I mean, Bam played out of his mind that last series that they lost, but he wasn't that consistent when earlier in the thing. So you needed people like Vincent and Strus and all these people that were bona fide role players to step up and play out of control. I mean, it's too bad that they lost because they cannot run that back.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of running it back, Phil also says run it back while everyone else makes improvements. We need to expect to be at the back of the pack. I don't think it's that simple, but I do think I understand, like, if you look at the lineup. But I don't think there's enough for all of our competitors out there to make improvements. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you consider that, like, if Julius Randle really had to get surgery, which apparently he did, something was wrong. Something was wrong. Now, am I going to give him a pass for that? I don't know if I can. I can't. That's not up to me. But I do understand that he wasn't playing at his best. But if I'm a front office and I saw that Julius could get us to the playoffs before by himself being the lone best player, and then we added Jalen Brunson and we get back, it's like, okay, well, let's see if these guys can figure it out one more time. You know what I mean? That's, as a front office, I would have to think like that, because mm-hmm. it's too volatile for you to make moves just because, oh, we lost this year. We got to make a move. Yeah. Because then what happens if the guy you get next year, you lose with him? So it's like, you gotta
and bro,
you know what I'm saying?
And Cat, teams lose, right? Like the Nuggets lost every year, bro. Yep, every year they would have a monster regular season, and then they would lose. And every even what did we say, bro? We did a playoff preview show. None of us believed in that team. We all said the Nuggets are gonna do what they always do every year. They're gonna have a monster year and show up in the playoffs and do nothing.
I don't think people are understanding. I don't think people are understanding. So when they say y'all are trying to wait forever, Knicks making moves now before the new CBA. I understand all of that.
There's pressure to make a move before the CBA. 100%.
They're definitely gonna make a move. All I'm saying is, what move out of all of these moves,
right,
do you think takes us that far ahead of the pack?
That's the real question.
If that move is there yet. That's all I'm saying. Like Bradley Beal, he's already out of here. He said he wants to go to Phoenix. That's that. The only other guy I think makes us significantly better, if with a chance, is Zach LaVine. And that's just not even as our first or second best player, just as our third. We just need another third that's better. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Cat is that guy. I mean, and to me, it's Cat or Zach LaVine. I mean, it's either or. I don't think either one of them makes us that much better, but if it does make us better, cool. How does that make us better? How does Cat make us better? And how does Zach make us better? What about what either one of them does actually takes us to the next level?
I take no knees LaVine over Cat.
Me too.
I'm not a Cat fan at all, yo.
It's the brain with Cat.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
I think it's the brain with Cat, and that kind of Zach is not a guy that he's not all over social media. He's a gym rat. I just think that Zach might not be a one, which he might be deemed to be in Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
Or if he comes here. Right? All right. So let's entertain LaVine for a second.
Right. Yeah. Let's
can we do that?
Let's do that. Let's see how this happens.
So Zach comes here, right? And he's the, I don't want to call him the three, but he's like the 2A or the 2B, right?
Right.
And he gives us, I think he played 77 games this past season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He gives us another 77 games, right? And those 77 games, because he's got two guys around him that are, you know, all world, right? Yeah. All NBA type guys, right? He could go back to being the dude from 2 years ago that was 50, almost 50, 40, 90, mm-hmm. right? If you get that dude, yo, for 77 times in a season, going into the postseason, along with Julius and Jalen, sign me up, bro.
Right. Yeah. Because right now, he is better than RJ Barrett. There's no question about it.
If you give me no cartilage, no knees, we're going to get him and he's going to break down as soon as we get him, a la Amari Stoudemire, I'm going to go cry into my pillow somewhere and scream obscenities.
And there's a high possibility for that to happen. Unfortunately.
Well, I mean, the last five seasons, he averaged 25-4-4. So, I mean, that's pretty big. Plus the percentages are great.
He's a hell of a player, bro.
How many games has he played in the last five seasons? And I'm just playing devil's advocate.
What, 325 divided by five, whatever that is?
325 divided by five. Let's see, right? 325 divided by five is 65 games a year. Okay, that's not too terrible. But you said he played 77 the last game, so that actually takes that number down for the other season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, the concern would be health. But I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't mind a lineup of Jalen Brunson, Zach LaVine, and, you know, Julius Randle. Especially if we still have Mitch, because we're going to need Mitch, guys. If you make that trade, you're going to need Mitch. because Zach is going to let a lot of guys, he's going to funnel a lot of guys to the paint. He does it a lot.
But that's the thing. Systematically, you're going to have to do that defensively. But offensive-wise, if you got Zach LaVine there, he's going to have to ball handle more. He's going to have to – you're going to have to, like, you know, like focus on him to be, you know, an option on offense, you know, on the perimeter with Brunson. Right. So if you do that, then it takes Julius out of that role. Because Julius was standing on the perimeter dribbling through his legs before. But I would prefer LaVine doing that. So that way, you know, Julius would be the receiver coming off of those passes.
I think Julius does it because – he's got the battery in his back from the coach. I think that's why he does it. I don't think that's going to change. I don't think that's ever going to. I don't think anyone that's going to come here is going to change coach saying, hey, Julius.
But Zach LaVine averaged 25 points per game. So he was like a big time ball handler.
Right,
so if anybody's going to do it, it's another 25 point a game scorer.
Yeah.
Not Grimes. No, you know, Grimes and those guys are not going to do it.
All I'm saying is, I think, first of all, I would rather, much rather, Zach LaVine have the ball in his hands.
Yeah, this is the first time since the Zach LaVine conversation came up that I'm actually like,
Right, yes.
I'm almost talking myself into it, yeah.
Right. See, and that's something that I could actually see, especially because for something that Joe has said for months, what do you think I'm going to say, Joe?
He's like,
I'm not sure.
I wasn't expecting
to say a lot of things.
It's something we always have to pause you for every time you say.
Oh.
Shit, bro. I don't know, man.
We need more length. So whenever we're talking about the guys that are
pause.
Talk about Zach LaVine and Bradley Beal. The reason why I'm like, all right, I would rather Zach LaVine if these are the two guys that's available. I'd rather Zach because he's got longer arms. I'll say it sounds a lot less pause worthy. You know what I'm saying? But also, is he that much better of a defender than Beal? Not really, because I think they both aren't really the greatest defenders. And we're also they'd probably be replacing RJ. And has RJ been a great defender? No. You know what I'm saying? So, he's been average. But
Y'all know what scared me off LaVine.
What?
Like, and I don't think I ever said it on this show. But what scared me off LaVine was this. One, my boy he's a Bulls fan like we're Knicks fans. Big time Bulls fan. Mm-hmm. He would love for us to take LaVine off his hands.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the article's been out there. Like, there was an article that was written. I can't remember who wrote the article a couple of years ago. I think it was two seasons ago, where they're basically like, Zach is out there every night and he goes out, he plays, but he's basically like managing pain every single game and his knees. Like, the fact that this dude is managing pain over the course of October to a 6-month season is spooky to me, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's never really healthy. He's never really pain free. Is what you're telling me?
Most athletes are though. I feel like everybody's managing pain. Like when you see them on the bench, they're like wrapping their knees in these huge packs of ice, and then they get called in. You see them unravel it and then throw to that's a lot of players.
But the article literally said that, and I quote, he can't play defense because of his knees.
Damn. So, There's that. So even if he wanted to, he couldn't.
I wish I could find his article.
Listen.
So I could send it to you guys.
So, and all right. So Phil says, okay, so if Miami or Cleveland or wherever picks up Beal and we stay as good as, and we stay as is with a good ankle surgery, you don't think that makes a big difference between two teams? I don't think it's the move that has to be a win now, but it still has to move the needle like Denver did with Aaron Gordon. And then they traded later for Cowell Pope and signed Brown. But that Aaron Gordon move was still a need to get them to where they just were. And absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I agree with you there. That mm-hmm. But if you see where I'm going with you, that's not a star move. That's not a big move. And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I do think we need to make changes.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying we have to go for the star all the time. Like, let's make these incremental changes, these incremental moves. There is an Aaron Gordon out there for us somewhere.
Well, Denver, you know, needed Aaron Gordon though. Denver already had the superstar in you know, Joker and also too. The other cat too. So too. They already got their star. So they needed that one person to solidify their rotation, their, you know, to do the job they needed him to do. Mm-hmm.
You know what it comes down to though, for the Knicks and the Knicks front office,
right?
It really comes down to how much do they believe in what they have already with Randall and Brunson, right? Because obviously,
what's that?
What?
No, I'm sorry. I want to throw something in once you finish.
Okay.
Oh, like obviously Denver, like they were 100% all in on Joker, right? Like they knew what they had already, and they were like, "Yo, we're gonna add to this guy." Mm-hmm. Did the Knicks see enough? I feel like I have, but did the Knicks see enough from Jalen to be like, yo, we need to make the next move to get this guy a piece in here so he could take us to the next level and hope that a healthy Julius, right, without a bunch of bums around him like he had 2 years ago, to actually perform in the playoffs?
Yeah. Do you think that with a healthy Julius, a healthy Jalen Brunson, I think if running it back sounds scary, but also it's also a risk, just like making one of these trades is a risk, because you're taking the bet that RJ Barrett is going to come back better. And do we know that that's going to happen? No, but is it a chance?
Yeah.
Not just him, just everybody. Grimes, everybody, you know, RJ, Grimes, IQ. Yeah.
Right, everybody. Right. So it's a risk either way. I don't think there's a safe move. Either one. I don't think either one is safer. You know what I mean? You don't know. You can't predict. Some guys get hurt and then they have a down year. Like,
it's true.
And then that's it. They lose their value.
Salute, Julian. Salute.
Right. Yeah. Salute. My bad. I haven't even been checking on the chat.
Well, capital S's.
Peace. Salute.
Yeah. I wanted to throw this at you guys. Remember when we made the playoffs versus Atlanta?
Yeah.
And what was the move that we did after that? We added Fournier and Kemba Walker to the mix. Everybody thought that we needed a shooter. We got Winnie Fournier. Everybody thought we needed a point guard. We got Kemba Walker. You know what I'm saying? So we got kind of cocky in that way. You know, all our eggs in that one basket.
Right.
You know, on paper, you know, let's say if we would have gotten Brunson at the time, you know what I'm saying? Or if we would have got, let's say, I don't know, somebody else in that tax bracket, let's say like Buddy Hield. If we got Buddy Hield and Brunson instead of Fournier and Kemba Walker, it might have worked a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, but we ended up getting one guy that don't play defense, another guy that had no knees whatsoever.
Knees at all, yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? So we got to be very careful on that. Because, I mean, we did need the backcourt. Right now, we technically have it now. You know, but the next move now, we need to we're not gonna get that superstar. You know what I'm saying? But we have to at least try to do something to improve what we were missing. Because Julius went down, RJ wasn't bringing it really like that. It was just Brunson by himself.
I thought RJ was pretty good in the playoffs.
Game six
he was awful.
Yeah, right. game six. But
up until from game three of the Cleveland series up until that game six against Miami.
Yeah,
like, he was really good.
He was actually very good. The numbers actually said he was very good. And he was reliable.
What do you think we needed it during that time, though? We needed, because, I mean, IQ was almost hurt. And then we were basically dead on offense, man. So,
yes.
Like, let's say if we do make the Zach LaVine trade on paper right now, just me saying it, like, you know, if he was there in the playoffs, we would have got past Miami. With no problem.
I believe that. You want to know why I believe that? One thing that Miami was able to do against us, and it was the reason why Tibbs, who should have never gone away from Quentin Grimes once he was healthy, he should have been back in the starting lineup. But teams were able to kind of just, you've seen how they were. It was one game I was watching. I think it was the first game when Grimes got back into the starting lineup against Miami, right? And you immediately seen a difference with the way Miami was playing defense. Mm-hmm. When Josh Hart was on the floor, they literally would have four guys with a foot in the paint, like literally.
Yeah.
I kid you not, there was one play in the first quarter of that game, I think it was game three, where he got put back in the starting lineup, Quentin Grimes, where Jimmy was kind of sagging off, But he knew, just out of respect, right, that you got a career 39% three-point shooter standing in the corner. He knew that he couldn't get too far off of him. So instead of a foot in the paint, he was like a step outside of the paint. Like, all that shit makes it a complete difference when you talk about spacing.
Yeah.
That's why it was a shocker that Tibbs went back to that lineup in game six at the end. And then he was like, after going away from it, didn't play that lineup in game four or game five together. RJ and Hart did not touch the court together in games four or five. And then in game six, Tibbs is like, let me outthink myself and put these two guys back on the court together so Miami could go back to just packing the paint.
Right. And the thing is that when you got Jimmy Butler, first of all, if you look at, like you mentioned, you got Grimes. You know he's a quick shot. As soon as he gets the ball, he's going right up. And you know, as a defender, if you're Jimmy Butler, I'm sure you know that. You study, you watch enough film. As soon as this guy gets the ball, you got to get to him. You can't let him get the ball, basically. On the other hand, you got Josh Hart. More often than not, he's going to look for a pass before he takes that shot. So you got some time to get to him. So you can put that foot in the paint because you know, all right, if I step out towards him a lot, I think just a little bit, he's going to head fake and think about it. You know what I mean? So just that little bit of respect that, like you said, that he has for Quentin Grimes, the second-year guy, just to know, all right, this guy, if I give him too much space, he's going to knock that shot down. So I think, and you know, once he was out, when Grimes is out, that hurt us a lot because, like you said, you had to play RJ and Josh Hart.
The crazy part about it was he wasn't making shots, but teams just had to play defense different. He could be one for his last 10. Yeah. You still got to defend it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Every single time. Because you don't want to give him the wide open.
Right, like that game five where, you know, they were down, he was shooting awful, and then he hit 2 3-pointers in a row and then went to the line like pair of times. Like, he is a sleeper. So, you know, you gotta respect him.
You gotta respect him. So, I mean, were you going to say something, Ru?
No, I was just saying, you just got to tip your hat to the coaching, too, because, I mean, you know, we basically took Jimmy Butler out the game. So what they did was they used him as a decoy, and then, you know, we were double-teaming him for no reason, and then...
I never understood it, bro.
Yeah, every single time Duncan Robinson got the ball, that motherfucker, I mean, the shot was up and in, you know what I'm saying? Jay Vincent shot up and in. You know, Corey, whoever got the ball, shot was up and in every single time with confidence, you know?
Yeah, because they knew that they had... someone who's going to be 2 to 3 feet from them. That's and enough time for you.
What you're going to do, like, let's say you know that's your defensive philosophy, to double team Jimmy and then run out and put a hand up in the shooter's face. You're doing what the coach wants you to do, and you're getting smoked every single time down. So what does that do to your mental and to your confidence, you know, night in and night out, you know, knowing that this defense is not working? You know, everything that we're doing is not working, and they're just killing us right now. What does that do to you?
Yeah. Big L says RJ proves he can play in the playoffs. Julius never proved that. That's the thing. Like, I can't even defend Julius. I can't even defend him. He literally had like 2 to 3 good games this entire playoff series. Like the whole run. It might have been 2 games he played.
I'm not gonna defend him, but I am gonna say
He wasn't right.
I'm not gonna get up on a soapbox and be like, no. Like, I get it, Knicks fans. I get why you're mad. But the guy wasn't right, yo. And like I said, visualize, right? Feel the pain. Twist your ankle 2 times, the same ankle 2 times in 3 weeks, and then go out and try to play an NBA basketball game. Like, just visualize it. Actually try to feel it. And, I mean, it's rough, bro. It's rough.
They were in the middle of a playoff run, too. Playoff was coming, too, and he got hurt right before the playoffs. So he couldn't even prepare with the team properly because he was still trying to get himself right. But and then not to mention, when he did come back, he did have 18-10 that first game.
Yeah.
Yes. Big Al, he was terrific in that game five in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I just, listen, I will give Julius one more chance with this team only because of what I've seen with Jalen Brunson.
Everybody keeps saying that. All right, hold on.
What?
Julian, you might not have been here. He said if he wasn't right, he shouldn't have played. All right, let me paint a picture, right? All right, and I'm not disagreeing with you that he shouldn't have played. But Jimmy turned his ankle in that same series, right? Knicks fans, think about how y'all are. Jimmy Butler turned his ankle in that same series, right? And came back and gutted it out. Could you imagine? Could y'all imagine if the Knicks lost that series, right? And Julius Randle turned his ankle and didn't come back in that series. The shit y'all would have said about him anyway. The guy was damned if he did, damned if he didn't.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, he actually missed game one because of his ankle. Like, we're also forgetting that. Yeah. He also didn't play game one because of his ankle. And like I said, I don't want to make this excuse, guys. Trust me.
It's a fact of life.
I don't. I don't want to make this. I'm not trying to make this excuse.
Morning, Bruce Sports, bro. You've been on the show, man. You've been on the show, man. So I know that you're fucking brilliant, bro. So can we dissect 2020 one more time?
No.
No. Hold on. Can I do it one more time, bro? I feel like I've done it a million times.
Exactly. Yo,
the guy literally had what is it? It was that year two RJ Barrett, right?
Yeah.
He had a point guard who literally, not even figuratively, literally could not make an open jump shot. That was his starting point guard. He had a center who literally couldn't rebound or catch the basketball or do anything with the basketball. He had a small forward who literally could not dribble the ball more than twice before he had to look for somebody to pass the ball to. Mm-hmm. And he had Derrick Rose. And Knicks fans are like, go beat that team in the playoffs when they throw the kitchen sink at you. Because they know that nobody on your team is worth a damn. Nobody on that team is worth a damn. Did you that fast break with Reggie Bullock? You know what fast break I'm talking about. Right. See, that fast break lives rent free in my head. Like literally didn't know what to do with the ball on a fast break, and he's an NBA player. I rest my case.
Bro.
Like, come on, guys.
And nobody talks come about on. That, but they just want to keep talking about Julius beating that dead horse.
Now, listen.
Like, I get it. You're mad at the guy because he hasn't performed in the biggest moments. I get it. Yeah. But, like, there are other things happening.
So he says, you know, it's all love. Yes, we were trash. But night and day, the team this year, I didn't see much difference in his playoff effort. Yes.
Boom.
That is it. That is it. Y'all know I came on here
100%.
The day that we lost, and I said, I can't hate Julius for what he does on offense, on defense, because I know he has the talent to do it. But what I question and I can't stand is the effort on both ends, every play. That's it. That is the only thing that I question with Julius Randle.
Yeah. And the problem with the effort is that effort wasn't really healthy or not, right? If we're being honest. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest now about Julius. Mm-hmm. The effort that we've seen in the postseason, healthy or not, was very similar to what we've seen for 82 games.
Yeah.
In the regular season. Mm-hmm. So I won't disagree with you there. Mm-hmm. Like, it looked eerily similar to healthy Julius mm-hmm. in the regular season.
Right.
And that is spooky. Because you just expect the guy to lay it out all out on the line. You know what I mean?
Every game.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
It looked way too much like the guy who we seen for 82 games, who would sometimes show up, right? Like defensively. Like you would have like these random games where he was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like you're rubbing your eyes. Like, is that Aaron Gordon on defense or is that Julius Randle?
Right. Like, oh shit. But then it's like, wait, why can you be this guy? And then two plays later be that guy. How is this possible? Like, it's the consistency of the effort with me with Julius. Yeah. And it's on both ends. It's on both ends because sometimes he runs the offense beautifully. And then the next time he'll come down the court and won't look at anybody at all. And he'll go straight to the basket and take a stupid shot. And it's like you just erased that play before. I forgot you made the good play. They're going to talk about it on ESPN, but I forgot about that play because of what you did right after it. You know what I mean? And it's the consistency sometimes. That's it.
But isn't he consistently inconsistent?
That's literally Julius.
Izzy, you're was good.
And so you know you gotta like take the good with the bad. He is who he is, so you can't expect him all of a sudden to turn into like prime. You know, I can't even think of a player prime. You know, whoever on both sides of the ball, Dennis Rodman out of nowhere. You know,
he definitely is who he is, man. And like he's our guy. Yo, Knicks fans, he's our guy. Yeah. He's not going anywhere, yo.
He's one of our guys. He's one of our guys. He is one of our guys. And it's finally good to be able to say that. It's finally
He's not going anywhere. I know as much as we could talk about like trading him, like he's gonna be a Knick come October, guys.
Yeah.
So just suck it up. Just suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah. Unless there's a team out there that really wants him.
Well, we're sure shit not trading him to Minnesota. I tell you that right now. Like the organization likes him. They have too much love and respect for him. They're not trading him to Minnesota. Go ahead, Eru. My bad.
I was gonna say what was interesting about Julius is that like remember the game when he scored 57 points? He only had like 4 rebounds, or whatever. But it was against Minnesota. He scored 57. Mm-hmm. Every point that he scored was off of a pass, bounce, and shot up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And we lost that game too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, just the way that he scored, how cool that he did it. You know, he was doing it as a receiver. You know, he wasn't doing it, you know, going in between his legs, doing that type of step back jump shots and stuff like that. He was getting off for catching, dribble, shoot. You know, catching, step back, you know, to the spot and get the shot off. If we can get him to do that, then that's the Julius Randle that we need.
But he had the three ball going in that game, though. Like, he's not going to have the three ball going like that every night. But,
The difference with that is that he wasn't dribbling the ball up and just pulling up for three. It was like, you know, the ball was swinging to him.
Right.
So it's crazy, though, when you say that. So I don't know if you looked at this. Have you ever, like, compared his catch and shoot to his pull-up threes?
Yeah.
He's Julius.
Julius.
His catch and shoot and his pull-up three-point shooting is, like, almost identical. I think he was like a 33% pull-up three-point shooter and like a 34-35% catch and shoot three-point shooter.
Right.
So not too much of a difference.
Listen, man, I think we need to focus on getting more guys in here that take off a lot of the pressure that our main guys have.
Can I suggest something when you're done?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, sometimes it's very hard to do that. You got it, because usually whoever you can get, I mean, you're not the only guy out there trying to get them. So it's especially because a lot of the guys that you really want are restricted free agents. So you know, it's a very tough role to play. Well, go ahead, Rick. What were you gonna say?
Who was the MVP this season?
Embiid.
Joel Embiid.
And who was the Finals MVP?
Jokic. Nikola Jokic.
So why are we not looking in the overseas markets? Why are we only looking at what's available here in the NBA? I'm just saying, like, we looking for shooting. So like, you find somebody that could shoot over there because there's a lot of them that could shoot over there.
There
was a time in the league where if you were a foreigner, you were a shooter. Like you didn't even have to know. You look at their name, that guy's shooting. Sure. You know what I'm saying? So like, why are we not looking over there? Well, why are we only looking at people's hand-me-down or?
Shout out to Rokić Jokubaitis.
You know what I mean? We got Jokubaitis.
Right. Yo, it's crazy because I think there's a lot of guys there. See, the thing about having what we have now is we got to be careful with what we swap out. You know what I mean?
It's spooky times, bro.
Yeah, like we got to be careful about what we swap out because we got some good. You know what I mean? Now, the Fourniers, the D Roses. Some even say the OBs. We can make a move centered around those guys, and maybe even one other guy that we might not want to look, you know, to get rid of. Because let's be honest, we're Knicks fans, so we don't want to. We might have to enter one other guy into a trade, and then some of these, you know, picks that we have just stashed to make the trade that we really really want to make. Now, as we spoke about before, there's a Knicks tax. So that all the pieces that I just named is not going to entice anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're really, really being honest, if I'm on a team, I'm like, yo, I can get Obi and first draft, first round picks. If you're an NBA franchise, does that sound appealing?
Facts, Julian said we do look overseas. And see how it's worked out for us.
But that has it, man. Guess what? You keep forgetting. That's the old us.
Yeah, and that's what I always say too, right? Rick? Like, we got to stop living in the past. Yeah, new regime.
No more.
New regime. They seem to be doing things the right way.
I don't,
the Knicks tax is over.
It's never over. First of all,
the Knicks tax just got implemented last offseason
when we couldn't get Donovan Mitchell, and then the Cleveland Cavaliers just came in and just threw them a few things. Like, yeah, hey, go ahead, take that.
It was surprising.
I mean, so I won't say they threw them a few things. Like, they got all NBA.
It was a nice.
Nobody seen it coming, but like, they did get an All Star, a surprise All Star with Laurie.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, you know, that was a deal that we could have made a long time ago, but it happened with Cleveland just like that. It literally came out of nowhere. So I don't know. It's I just don't think that they're gonna just make a trade. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's just gonna be.
I'll be right back.
Like Sha says. A safe move. I don't know. I don't know what that safe move is, bro. Like, I want to see something that is. We're gonna have to give up something. Like, Knicks fans, we get really attached to a lot of things, players, picks.
Let me say this. He's coming back now. Regular Joe. I want him to hear this too.
But now I can hear you. I got my headphones on.
Okay. Well, I might have mentioned this before, like on the show. 1989, we won 52 games, right? I'm going back in the days. 1989, mm-hmm. 52 games under Rick Pitino, good coach, whatever. Right. That was the bomb squad, you know, team. You know, famous bomb squad team. We had Patrick Ewing, Mark Jackson, Oakley, Joe Wilkins, Johnny Newman. You know, Kiki Vandeweghe, Ross Strickland, bunch of guys we had on that squad. 52 games we won, right? Mm-hmm. That was 89. Fast forward to 94, we go to the finals in 94. Fast forward to that year, not that many years went by. 57 wins that year. I mean, you know, 50, you know, for the 94 season. Who was on that squad that was on that 89 squad? Only Patrick Ewing and Oakley.
Mm.
You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we putting too much emphasis on certain but you know, sometimes fans, they put too much emphasis on their favorite player. Like, say, like Gerald Wilkins. People love Gerald
100%.
Wilkins. 100%. Johnny Newman, they loved him at the time. You know, but once we got rid of them, people were pissed off. But they had no idea that in 1994 we were going to be in the finals. You know, without this.
Nixon I says y'all won't say the move. I don't know what the move is, bro.
I don't know what the move is. Look, I don't know what the move is, bro.
Whatever the move is going to surprise everybody, because that's just the way the Knicks be moving right now.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. Is that, like, you know, we can make one move a little here, next make another move. Like, we don't know what move it would be to take us to where we want to go.
Bro came in here thinking that he was going to hear some breaking news. Like, we don't know. we don't know, yo.
I don't know. I don't have no sources. I don't know nothing.
I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. Right? Like, yo, Zach LaVine could be the guy, and I could be dead wrong, yo. Like, I don't know.
I really don't know.
All I know, this is what I do know.
I would look at the trade, though. I would look at it. I would definitely look at it, for sure.
This is what I do know.
It's nice, man. He put down a whole starting lineup.
Yes,
and
yes, he did.
Us,
you know yes, he did. Like, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. This is what I do know, though. I do know that I can speak for the other three gentlemen on this panel. Is that we want the Knicks to do what will ultimately benefit the Knicks tomorrow and 5 years from now and 10 years from now. Right? I think that we all want that. So that's the only thing that I do know. I don't know nothing else, though.
Yeah, man. But, like, I'm going to be honest. Julius says y'all lost. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it, bro. Because honestly, I don't, like I said, I don't envy these guys at all.
This is the most difficult offseason.
I don't envy
one of the most difficult offseasons in a long time for New York, bro.
Right.
Like, cause there's nothing like, all right. So like you think about like, what year was that? 2011, right? When LeBron went to, Miami, like there was a clear cut, like, okay, we want to go get this guy. Right. And then it didn't happen. And then it was like, there were so many free agents that year. It was like, all right, well, we can still get Amari Stoudemire. Right. Like last year, it was pretty clear cut. Like Donovan Mitchell was the guy. We're going to try to go get this guy. Like, nothing's clear this offseason.
Right.
And you just made it to the second round, right? So now the pressure is, how do we come back next season without fucking it up? Right?
Well, all right, so, another name we mentioned earlier who is a free agent, instead of, he won't be on the Bulls roster, is Vucevic. He's not there. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Okay.
So guys like that are not there. Fred VanVleet, I don't know if you guys heard, he's rumored to be going to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
So there's a Caris LeVert, unrestricted free agent. I don't know if he resigns there.
I think he'll end up back in Cleveland.
You think so? I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I think
it depends on how much he's going to get, because if you look at the guys around his talent level, he's already getting $17.5 million.
I'm only going off of what the guys from the putback say.
Okay.
Not the putback, but the chase down. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The Cleveland guys. That's Cleveland's official podcast, for those that don't know.
And I wonder what they seem
pretty confident that Caris will be back. They feel like the Cavs are pretty much married to him.
That's good. He's going to be getting close to 30. He might be getting like 25.
But yo, Caris came through for them in the playoffs, but they was playing around with him all season. He was on the bench, he wasn't playing, getting MPs and stuff. So now all of a sudden he's their guy, you know. So I mean, that's weird too.
They married now.
They married.
Now
they married.
Oh, now you're married.
Nick's nice. I'm only saying what's reported.
I feel you. Yeah. The Dallas Mavericks are going to move on from Christian Wood, and they're not going to offer him an extension or a contract. Kyle Kuzma, he has a player option. We'll see if he picks that up or not. It's for $13
million. Jordan, he won't.
Probably won't.
You said 13 million?
$13 million. He's not picking that up.
He's declining that. Absolutely. The season he just had, he's about to get paid.
No way. Josh Hart, we know he's going to decline it, but we know he's coming back. It might be the same for Kyle Kuzma. You never know. But especially if Bill's going to be gone, they're going to throw the bag at Kyle.
No, I think Kyle will be back in Washington.
Yeah, I think so. Jordan Clarkson, another one who he has a player option. $12.8 million. I don't think he's declining that. Kelly Oubre Zathi is unrestricted free agent. Josh Richardson. Dwight Powell. Dylan Brooks. Listen,
he's available?
Yeah, Dylan Brooks is available.
Dylan Brooks is available.
What I tell you though, man. I said to y'all, free agency is dead, yo.
Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is another deal. Listen, but look, Jay Crowder is a name that I would
Jay Crowder is a name.
Jay Crowder is a name. Unrestricted, but does he want to come to New York is the question. You know what I'm saying?
Probably not.
I don't know about Jay Crowder though.
I heard Jay is kind of a locker room headache though. That's what I heard. I don't know how true that.
We don't need those things.
He's old now too, man. He's like like 30s now.
How old is Jay Crowder?
I don't know. He might be like 34 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm good on Jay Crowder. I mean, he's a good defender. He's a 3-and-D guy, but I think I'm okay.
You read off a lot of good talent though. Every name that you mentioned is something that can really help a team out there.
You can help a team. Chris Middleton's another guy. He's a player option, $40.4 million.
He's picking that up.
He's picking that up.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he does.
Yeah, he's
as
picking
many
that
games
up.
As he misses all the time.
He'll be in Milwaukee. If he's not, then he has very, very bad counsel. It should be fine.
D'Lo's an unrestricted free agent. I'm not saying for us. I'm just saying that these are names that can be on teams on the Eastern Conference that we're contending
with. D'Lo!
You know what I mean? We got to be careful.
Harden's not coming back to Philly, right?
He's not going back to Philly. I doubt it.
You don't think so?
I think, listen, if Fred VanVleet goes, And they actually do something over there and bring some guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see James Harden say, you know, let's run it back. Let's try one more time, you know, with a point guard who's clearly won a championship before. I don't see why not. I don't see why not.
Where does Kyrie sign? Kyrie?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, LA is the biggest name tied to him right now, but
I think Pride won't let him sign there, though.
Yeah.
He's a free agent, right? He's a free agent, Kyrie?
Unrestricted, yeah.
Unrestricted free agent.
Uh-huh.
Draymond
Green. Yeah, I mean, I
he gonna retire before he allows to play.
Yeah, but he going back to Golden State though.
He's going, yeah.
A
name that a lot of guys probably haven't heard in a while that I would kick the tires on, being that he's his injury history isn't the greatest, but you wouldn't have to pay him too much, is Will Barton. He's getting old, but he's coming off the bench. You know what I mean? You would have him as a bench guy. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what we're looking for right now. You know what I mean?
So one thing I will say, right, and I was thinking about this, as we talk about like all of these possibly bringing in like a few ancillary pieces, right, to kind of like round out the rotation, Tibbs only plays 9, bro.
Yeah.
I said this. Yeah, you heard what I said, man. You heard what I said?
Yeah, it's not 9.5. Yeah, like it's a hard 9, yeah. Like, and I can't be mad at him for playing 9 because as soon as he went with 9, like the entire season turned around.
Hold on. My bad, chat.
Mm-hmm.
Is Nick's a nice punch? Is that punch?
That's what I thought.
I think it is because I think it's the same.
It's the same dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it is Pudge. What up, Pudge? Yeah, bro, I didn't know that was you the whole time.
Hey, because Pudge goes by Pudge Nice. So, you know, Knicks are nice.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, if that's Pudge. Okay, yeah, what's going on, Pudge? My bad, my God. Oh, it's been an hour and 17 minutes in. I didn't know that was you. What's going on? My God? I didn't know.
Oh, man. We gotta. Is that like a. So, Julian, is that like Fire Tibbs a Jace? That comment is like, it's not Fire Tibbs, but it's like, okay. Fire Tibbs or Jace.
He says, we need an upgraded coach that can utilize the whole team, a wing that can shoot, and a center, whether starting or off the bench, that can stretch the floor right now. Tibbs not really using our heart to score.
I tell you right now, Tibbs ain't going nowhere. So.
Yeah, Tibbs, I get it in wanting a better coach. But until that option is
I mean, like, legitimately out there.
There we go again.
Like,
because you don't want me to go on the tangent again. Like,
please don't.
Listen, the guy is a proven winner. That's all I can say, yo. Like, he wins. Like, and he's won here.
Did we forget the slew of coaches we just ran through just because we have somebody that is winning? Got us to the playoffs.
He gets W's.
I don't understand what.
And our best player loves the guy. He grew up around
his family.
Like, you guys understand? Jalen Brunson
is on the coaching staff.
Yes, no, like Jalen Brunson loves Tibbs. He's grown up around Tibbs. Like, he's been around Tibbs since
big homie.
Yo, bro, like,
not going nowhere.
I understand where Knicks fans come from when they say like they want Tibbs gone, but at the same time, I'm like,
who?
I'm like, okay, he's gone, and then what? Like, exactly. Who's your guy?
That's Uncle
like,
Tom.
This guy. That's
Uncle Tom.
Guys, top 10 all time in win percentage. Like, he's a W getter. If he's nothing else, he's a W getter.
Listen, bro. Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. I would love a better coach.
This year is gonna be the test.
I just want to know who he is. That's it.
You heard me? This year is gonna be the test, though, because it's usually around year 3-4
they gotta give him what he needs to succeed. Like, if he has what they need to succeed and he fumbles it, then yeah, he needs to get out.
He's going into year four. He's getting into year 4 of a 5-year deal.
And this is usually where the voice starts to wane a little bit in the locker room for him. mm-hmm. right? Historically, right? Around year 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's losing this group, yo.
I don't think so.
Like, this group...
They love him.
This group is made for him, yo.
We got some good people on our team.
We got the right kids.
Yeah. They actually like this guy, bro.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think for sure there's definitely coaches out there that utilize a more modernized system and way of looking at things in offense, rotations and all of that. Like, absolutely, absolutely. I don't see these guys moving on from Tibbs. So I think what we as fans have to focus on is understanding that they're going to fill out the roster with guys that they believe Tibbs can bring out the best in those guys.
So let me say this, though. Like, I don't think Tibbs' offense is like some people make it seem like. Like, it's not like the Flintstones, like Stone Age. You know what I mean?
It's just basic. Like, it's basic, though.
Like, he's got his guys. He's mm-hmm. bought in, right? Got his guys shooting threes, mm-hmm. right? Like, every other 29 coaches in the NBA, he emphasizes the corner three, right? Is there not enough off-ball movement? I would agree to that. Yeah. But I think there's a reason for that, right? Because if you look at the teams who have a lot of ball movement, like the Warriors, right, who have one, right, like the Phoenix Suns, what do? They also turn it over a lot, right?
Yeah.
The more the ball is in the air, the more you're going to turn it over. Tibbs hates turnovers, yeah. right? That's why the Knicks are usually at the top of the league, right, is in terms of not turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. The ISO ball, he's got two really good ISO players.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You give me two, like, and Jalen Brunson was the second best isolation player in the NBA last year, only to Kyrie Irving. So, like, you're going to give me this guy who is a wizard, right?
Wow.
In isolation, and then you're going to give me a power forward who's also a hell of an isolation player, and tell me not to isolate them? Like, I'm isolating them, yo, because that's what they're great at.
Yeah. I mean, when you break it down in layman's terms, like, it's literally that simple. Like, I got guys that I'm going to play to their strengths, and their strengths, isolation basketball. Now, it's not like we got Jalen Brunson, who is literally not caring about passing the basketball. There's some guys who isolate and they still don't care about their teammates. That's not Jalen Brunson. You know what I mean?
So, Carmelo Anthony? No, right? That's not Carmelo Anthony.
Hey, whoa. Hey, I got the hoodie on for a reason, man. Like, let's not. Hey, relax.
Put the gun down.
Relax.
But, you know, it's not like Jalen Brunson is going to isolate to a fault. He's not one of those guys. He usually likes the fact that he gets a lot of his buckets in the paint is exactly what you want out of a guard. Who's usually going to get, who can get to the paint and then spray it out. That's which is
another,
exactly what
another, another thing that Tibbs values.
He loves it. So you're talking like, about somebody who's one of the best in, I guess, in the paint scorers in the league, like as a whole. He's 6 foot tall. You know what I'm saying?
So, he makes timely buckets too. His buckets be timely.
Nah, whoa, Julian, nobody jumping. I mean, if you give an idea, I'm allowed to refute it, right?
What do you say?
And tell you why I think different. Like, it's a conversation, bro.
No, we're not jumping down your throat, bro. We're having a conversation. I'm saying
it's a conversation. Listen, look, if you were here in person, I would talk to you the same way.
Listen, all I'm saying is the Knicks are not going to get rid of Tibbs. That's all I'm saying. I'm not jumping down your throat at all. I'm not trying to say that you're wrong. All I'm saying is we have to understand that they're not going to get rid of Tibbs.
That's the crazy thing. We didn't even say that he was wrong. Like, we actually said we understand.
Yeah.
But here are the reasons why we probably shouldn't.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just trying to get you to see the front office's point of view based off of what they've shown us. And that's usually what we do. We're usually going to come here. We're not going to give our point of view without basing it off of something. And usually what we base it off of is what the front office has already shown us. And the front office has showed us that they are dedicated and committed to Tom Thibodeau. And through thick and thin. You know what I'm saying? Especially after what he took him through this year. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
And to take it a step further, like, rightfully so. Right. They're not wrong in that.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Just like you're not wrong for saying that you want a better coach.
But which I agree with you.
But this guy is pretty freaking good though. That's all I'm gonna say.
And you can't get rid of him until you find that really good coach.
Right.
I mean,
to get rid of him
just because we want someone better.
I'm with that. Let's chop it up. They being so love. They'll do this to me.
But that's the thing too. When it comes to a new coach comes with like coaching staffs and all this stuff.
Give me a hug, bro.
Bring it in, bro.
Next talk, baby. Nah, but for real, that's just our point of view on it. It's not that we wouldn't rather anything. Like I said, would I rather coach that's more modern in terms of how he runs his offense or how exactly he uses rotations? Absolutely.
That's the thing. I just wish that he wasn't so rigid, right?
Yeah.
And I wish, especially in the playoffs, I felt like he changed. I felt like he was too flexible in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's just like, bro, you ain't done this all year.
Yeah.
Why you doing it now?
I don't know about that. I think it's more desperate. You know, that's what I think frustrates fans too with his coaching.
But it was weird though, because I felt like he got desperate for no reason, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like the series was tied 1-1. Like, what are you desperate about? Right. We're not down. You know what I mean? Like, it was just weird, like, how he started doing a whole bunch of stuff that it was just like, bro, like, you literally had Quentin Grimes in the starting lineup all year. Once he was back and healthy from that shoulder injury, he should have been back in the starting lineup.
He screwed up the whole flow, the rotation, the chemistry, everything.
Like,
but he's done it before too. You know, people want to go back to the Atlanta series and keep getting at Julius. But we mentioned already that they took Elfrid Payton out the starting lineup and started Derrick Rose. And then when that didn't work, then they tried to put Elfrid back in the starting lineup. It was like, oh, you're dead.
You didn't kill yourself already, you know?
Yeah.
And then you started playing Elfrid Payton for 10 minutes. Right. And then not playing over the rest of the game. It's like, how is that helping you, coach?
Literally, he would play the first 5 minutes of the game, and then they would take him out, and he would never come back again.
Yeah.
Like, listen, so my thing with Tibbs is, if you're going to be a stubborn, rigid SOB, like, continue to be that guy when it counts, bro. Like, don't all of a sudden get super flexible. And, like, nah, bro. Yeah. Be who you been, yo.
Yeah.
Right.
Be the guy who got us here. Clearly, especially if you did it the series before. I can see if you didn't do it the series before. If you were just winging it the whole playoffs, like, all right, cool. But you stuck to your guns in the Cleveland series, and you got us out of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, why was it so hard to, you know what I mean? Listen, anything could have happened. It could have been Julius's ankle. That we don't know the conversations behind closed door that these guys had. And I choose to not want to worry about that, because I'd never sleep. I'm telling you right now, I'd never sleep, bro. I would never,
it was just weird because, like, we know that this dude is, like, you know, when they talk about him playing Obi at the five, right? Or Obi at the four and Randle at the five. And he's quick to jump on the fact that, like, the numbers don't support it, right? All right, cool. Mm-hmm. You know what the numbers didn't support as well? The numbers didn't support Josh Hart and RJ Barrett sharing the court for extended amounts of time.
As many minutes as it, oh my God.
Like, the numbers didn't support that, and you continue to do it. Then you said, oh shit, this isn't working. You went away from it for two games, like, completely. Go back and watch games 4 and 5. They didn't play a minute together.
Yeah.
And then in game 6, he's like, I am determined. I'm hell bent on closing with this lineup.
Yeah.
Then he's like, oh shit, we're in trouble again. 2.5 minutes left. After I iced him out the game, let me put Quentin Grimes back in with two and a half minutes left and try to save the game. Yo. Like, what?
Yo, I honestly agree. And that's what I was saying before. It's like, if you think about the last game that RJ Barrett had, like, which was clearly the worst game that he had in his run, right? So you look at the fact that he had that terrible game and you continue to play him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't, all year, when RJ Barrett wasn't playing well, what did you do? You pulled him out of the game. So now what made you just ride with him? Like, I get it. like he was playing well all those other games, but right now he's not giving you anything.
Like it was obvious that the finishing wings should have been Grimes and Hart.
Mm-hmm.
That was obvious, yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just me. And Raul says, "Yeah, y'all running them off, bro. If you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. You can't."
I say that all the time.
I don't know why you're here. You don't have to be here, bro. Like we having a conversation. You know what I'm saying? You don't like the conversation, you could go. But it's been a few times where, you know what I'm saying, like,
I mean, it's midnight, so that's kind of running them off as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that, like the fact that it's 11:55 at night. But anyway, so we can give Raul some time to sleep. We can get up on
our Raul, matter of fact, nah, seriously, help us out, bro. Like what I always say, like tomorrow Sunday, I don't know if you're going to like church, like share this with your pastor. The lady with the lady, you know, the ladies wearing their Sunday hats, like share it with them.
Please.
Share it with the elders and the ushers. You know. Share it with everybody, man. Like, hook us up so we can have more than 6 viewers. And now 3 at midnight. I mean,
at midnight, right? When the season's over.
Help her brother out, yo. Like,
make it make sense.
Help us out, yo. Help us out. That's all I'm saying, man.
But I appreciate you, Raul.
We can use all the help. We use all the help we can get.
I appreciate you, Raul, for multiple times, as you said, for coming on the stream. Clearly, it was good enough for you to come on here.
Just to count the numbers of viewers who are watching alongside you.
I really appreciate you doing that.
Appreciate you, fam. Salute to you.
You helped us out in the process. Yeah. So thank
the work you did.
I hope you hit the like button, by the way. Like, yo, that's another thing. Like, help us out. Hit that like button, yo. Let's get this algorithm popping in our favor, man.
Facts.
As a matter of fact, subscribe. Hit the bell so that you can constantly give us updates on how many viewers are watching.
How many people
at any given time throughout the show. We really appreciate it.
And Eru, while you're still here, go ahead and give the people a rundown of where they can find you.
Tell them where they can find you, Eru.
I want to say something crazy, but
hey, don't get us
on our next podcast. That's Google it, whatever, or not. You know, I'll see you when I see it.
Word, man, appreciate you once again. Like I said,
hey, Eero, I seen those 12 viewers you had yesterday, though.
I seen the 12 viewers. You ain't gonna see.
I popped back in, it was only 9.
So. Imagine, right? I popped back in, it was only 9. You're losing them.
Running them off.
You're running them off.
People are weird, man. You know, they'll get into comments and they'll say what they want to say. You know, everybody does that, but you know, they don't really understand how hard it is to do live streaming. You know, to be consistent at it, and you know, no matter what time we do it, you know, it's just weird.
Right? I watched the whole show of yours, Eru, where you went off on somebody. I think you were like, yo, say it to me in public or whatever. And I think you gave out like where you be at and stuff like that. I was just like, yo, you was tight, man. You was tight.
That's Brooklyn, baby.
That's Brooklyn in the house. Holla at me.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a while, man. I gotta calm down.
My fellow Brooklynite, yeah, salute you, Eru.
I'm about to open up a hot dog stand. You know, I was just about to open up a hot dog stand. So I said, yeah, I gotta give up that dream. You know,
I gotta chill out. Word. Oh man, Julia said,
"Hey, listen." So the 3 of y'all that are here, thank you.
Five.
Hey, I will say this. I feel like we are better than our viewership. I'll say that.
Absolutely.
I feel like we are better than our viewership. Hopefully, eventually, people will start to realize that. Because I think that we do a pretty good job. Just my opinion, though. Maybe I'm biased, though.
Yeah, I mean, you got to believe in yourself, in number one. You got to have fun, number two. You know what I'm saying? 100%.
And we probably do that a little bit too much.
Right. You know, and a lot of times too, people just don't, you know, for some reason, it's the algorithm. We're talking about the algorithm. Sometimes the algorithm is not just pumping out the thing for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, their podcast be trash and they getting all these views and stuff like that, but they don't have engagement. Nobody knows who the hell they are. And it's not even, but for some reason, they get the view, the satisfaction of having a view.
Facts.
You know,
facts,
which is like ridiculous to me, man. Facts.
Yo, Cap, you know, I be scouring these Knicks YouTubes, right? Uh-huh. And I'm not going to lie, some of these jokers put me to sleep, man. Just like,
I mean,
I'll be in the car a lot, bro. So I try to turn on somebody who I never listen to.
Everybody.
And I'll be like,
you can't be falling asleep while you drive.
Nah. Yeah, exactly. Like, nah, I can't do it, yo. Like, obviously, like, I listen to Iru. You know, Knicks Film School is like my favorite shit. Like, outside of us, of course. So it's only a select few that I really just that I could turn on and not feel like this shit is kind of boring.
Yeah, it's a lot of those out there that really, like you said, just pump out content because that's how you hit the algorithm. And I can't say it's easy to do that, but it's easy to just pump out content and not really care about what the content is that you're pumping out. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
And I personally can't do that. That's not me. You know what I'm saying? And also, we all have lives and other things. This does not pay us. You know what I'm saying?
Family,
we don't get paid for this. We do this because we love doing this.
We love it. And we love the Knicks.
That's it. So it doesn't matter how many people come to watch us at this point. You know what I'm saying? And that's the fact that this is a conversation right now that we gotta have. Kind of crazy. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, for the few that, the three people, who like
Julian, you know, what's the name?
Julian Pudge. For the three of y'all, and Raul.
He's still here. Appreciate you.
Still here.
Shout out to Raul. Raul in the cut, though. He's not commenting no more.
He gave us a thumbs down. I appreciate it. Give us more thumbs down, my guy. I love it. But like I said, man, it's for the few of y'all out of here, I appreciate y'all. Like I said, throughout the season, there's a lot more people here throughout the season, especially when it's not midnight.
Word.
In the middle of the summer after the Nuggets just won a championship.
Word.
So I think you guys are gonna be okay. I think we're gonna be okay too. But anyway, I appreciate y'all for coming out. Like I said, Eru, appreciate you for showing up last minute. I just hit you 10 minutes before we was about to go live. Like, yo, what you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Thank you guys.
You know what I mean? Word. You know what I'm saying? So, like my man Pud says, it's the on season. Yeah, I want to hit off season. I want to hit that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is how we get our viewers up. You know, during off season, this is where we make our big bucks. Now,
exactly. This is where you get the bucks. This is where you get the big bucks. Or the big likes. But anyway, man, I appreciate y'all. For anybody that's, you know, hasn't been here, please do me a favor. Like, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. And until next time, y'all have a good one, man. Peace.
Peace.